Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. What's the temperature out there right now? Usually I look at my computer in the studio. It says it's 78 degrees in St. Charles, Missouri, and we are in St. Charles, Missouri. We are not in the studio right now. We are sitting at Ruler Foods in St. Charles, and the diapers are starting to pile up. They're overflowing the table. The basket is overflowing, but we need more. I think we can get like more and more baskets, right? The baskets can continue to come to, for us to fill up.
No.
Yes?
No, I mean, unless you pull some strings or something, I don't see how we could get more than this.
Look at this, and more people walking up with cash. Oh, my gosh. Thank
wow.
you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. So nice to meet you. And I mean, it's people like that of all ages, all walks of life, people who are, you know, I've actually heard multiple times the woman who just handed us $100 in cash. For us to go shopping here at the Inn, Ryan Wiggins is going to take this and go find out how many diapers he can buy from your donations. The people who continue to say, like, I've been there before, which is what she just said.
Yep.
People – that's really noisy when you do that. Do you know that?
You mean that?
Yeah. When people are continuously relating to the need to have diapers – provided. And when the economy is going really well, maybe you can afford it in a particular way that you can't otherwise. But we've talked a lot today about the economy and how the economy is a struggle for pretty much anybody and everybody. And while that is the case, if you're somebody who was struggling for whatever particular reason, you are going to feel the pinch even more on these basic necessities of diapers and wipes and so on and so forth. And so we're watching people who are piling up the diapers to donate to the St. Louis area diaper bank. Princess Storm, this is her fourth annual diaper drive. And 3 years ago, we determined that we wanted to step in and support her and help her. And it's been such a success so far. And we just want to encourage you to keep showing up for the rest of this time that we're broadcasting live and be helpful.
It's not a great place that America's in right now. We know that. I mean, that poll's about that today if you want to vote in a YouTube live chat poll. But it is, while it's sad to see more and more people sliding into poverty in the last 3 years or so, it's also great to, and hopefully this is coming through on the radio, because what we're seeing and what we were hoping to see is a whole bunch of people coming together, and you know, some people are bringing a whole bunch of boxes. Other people are walking in, just like her, I, who are walking into the store and just grabbing, you know, one little package on their way out because they can, and they know that people have been affected by this economy. If you got a baby in this economy and you were already kind of at the bottom of the economic ladder, man, we know it's tough, and so that's why we do this every year, along with Princess Storm. I don't think she, 4 years ago, said, oh, we know what the next 4 years economically is going to look like. It just so happens that this has been a 4 years where people really need this.
Yeah, and I think that I've got four kids myself. Ryan, you've got three, but you had twins. And, you know, I remember, especially with the first one, my husband and I, we're not in a position to be able to afford much at all. We tried extremely to live within our means. But when you need to buy diapers, you need to buy diapers. And you can't, like, make diapers last longer than they need to last. When it's time to change the diaper, it's time to change the diaper. So we're very grateful to have the opportunity to be out here, to be partnering with Princess Storm and Hot 104.1. Her goal is 10,000 diapers. And, I mean, I'm looking over here right now at three boxes that have 234 diapers in them apiece. This one gentleman brought by a whole, probably 15 boxes, the large boxes of diapers. So please, if you can bring one package, if you can bring a truckload of packages, which we've seen so far, or if you want to drop by and if you want to leave cash, I'm collecting it. We're going to give it to Ryan. He's going to buy diapers. At the end of the show, we'll, on our YouTube Live, we'll be able to show you when we walk in the store how many diapers we're able to buy. I'm looking forward to
that. How many did you say total? 50,000?
Her goal?
Yeah.
No. Didn't she say 10,000?
I thought it was 100,000.
100,000?
100,000.
100,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
she said that I think she was at least halfway there already.
Yeah,
is that
she
right?
was halfway there.
Yeah.
I'm doing like a rough count. I don't think that we've gotten there, but certainly on the road.
You guys are making an impact, making a real impact, and we're halfway through the show. We're not even halfway through the show.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more time to go. Plus, I've got $340 in my pocket right now that we have collected that you're going to be able to spend on diapers and on a link that I've tweeted out at Andy Fry Show on X. And it's also in the description of today's YouTube live broadcast. So if you go onto the Andy Fry YouTube channel and look at the description of the live broadcast on YouTube, you'll be able to see the link to donate. She's got $100 raised so far, and her goal is $5,000. So if you can't make it out here, if you can't bring us diapers, if you can make a quick cash donation here at the Ruler Foods in St. Charles, you can go to that link and you can make a donation there. The YouTube live chat poll while you were there is kind of in line with what we've been talking about with these diapers. And as we are at the grocery store right now at Ruler Foods, everybody can kind of relate to this. The question is, have you felt the financial pain of higher prices, yes or no? I'll just go first on this one. I have, and I know my husband has. As I said earlier in the show, he's the grocery shopper of our family. And we just get to the end of the paycheck where, you know, traditionally when I get the paycheck in, we take as much and put it in the savings as we can. And then we leave ourselves in the checking account just what we feel like we should need to spend so that we don't overspend. You're limited in that regard. And that number has dramatically had to change, what we put in our checking account in order to afford things like groceries and gas and just, you know, basic goods that you need on a check-to-check basis. So for my family, it's 100% yes.
You know how I don't call out my wife on the radio ever and don't share things?
Well, it depends which wife you're talking about.
The first one. The one that I'm currently married to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the last couple of years, she tends to buy kind of the bigger stuff, grocery stuff. And I'll go get milk when we need milk. But she's getting like the bulk of the groceries.
She's doing the grocery shopping. You're running the quick
errands. I'm running the quick errands. Yeah. Exactly. And we've noticed over the last couple of years, and this just happened this week, which is why it's top of mind. She did a roast. She was going to do an Italian beef roast.
Roast of you?
No. No, that was Dean Martin. She was out doing that stuff long before we knew each other. She was going to do an Italian beef roast, and she put it in the crock pot, and she said, I hope this is enough. It's not. What she used to spend on meat, she's still spending the same amount. It cannot feed our family anymore.
Right.
So we've had to adjust, and we talk about the grocery stuff a lot, but it's not just the day-to-day. The day-to-day is what you remember because you're doing it so often. It's big stuff. If you got to go buy a car, we just had to have our HVAC just completely gutted and replaced. You know, all this stuff, this high-dollar stuff, also has gone up. You want to spend $10,000, and now it's $13,000?
Yeah.
Man, that's a big chunk of your budget. And we've got savings, but there it goes. You know, thing like that.
Those were big repairs that come up that if you're – I mean, I can think of a time where we were living paycheck to paycheck, and – any sort of emergency would have been catastrophic. It would have been like, we're going to have to figure out how to get a loan or, you know, try to figure out how to make it work because it was not in the budget. It was not in a non-existent savings account. Then you get to the point where you're working and you get to build up a savings account so that when that emergency happens, you go to the savings account, you pay for the thing, but then you need some time to build up the savings account. If you've depleted that savings account, credit card debt is going through the roof right now. Everybody's talking about, you know, the burden of credit card expenses, and that's something that becomes cyclical and punitive. In a month by month, it costs you a lot of money to have to go to that, and that becomes very burdensome for people as well. Brad, what about you? Are you a yes or a no if you felt the financial pain?
I'm a yes on this poll. I think I've talked about this before. Whenever I started producing it for the Andy Fry Show, that was right after Joe Biden got elected. It was in 2021 of September. And it was a significant pay raise for me from what I was doing. I was building my own small business, and whenever you're first building it, you don't make a lot of money. A lot of that, your profit goes back into the company to make it work. And so this should have been a significant pay raise. Well, that first year, it was like I didn't get a raise at all. It was just like I was able to keep going at the rate that I was going, which doesn't make sense because I was making more money. There was more money coming in. And as you know, we were working on things like, let's try to pay off the house early. Well, that's gone by the wayside. And then it's like, all right, so now you guys have been talking about like putting money in savings. Well, that gets rolled back every little bit. And then it just seems like every time that there was a what would have been a big bill in 2017 or 2018 has become like a repair bill has become a really big bill. And then we have to stop and we have to look at, okay, what are we going to take out? What are we going to continue to do? What's necessary and what's not necessary. So we've made huge adjustments in our budget, and that's with me getting a better job and technically a raise. And I just, you know, we don't feel like we're any farther ahead, and maybe we're even a little bit behind where we were with me getting a better job.
Yeah, and that's so frustrating. You know, don't you feel like right now there's this kind of political attitude as like there's a point where you're supposed to have enough? Like you've done good enough. You've got enough. You're able to afford the basic needs, and you should kind of shut up and be okay with that.
That's an incredibly un-American attitude. Like the American dream is you go get it. If you can make it, you go, you get it. And the last thing that the government is supposed to do is to be getting in your way as you're trying to make your ends meet, trying to get your stuff, you know, trying to build your life, build your dream, work towards your dream. The government shouldn't be in the way. And poor leadership and poor management has made that harder than it has ever been. I don't know who would be out there that would be like, yeah, things are going great for me. Everything is, unless maybe that you had a big chunk of money in the stock market or whatever, and you know how to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's become a political talking point, unfortunately, because it doesn't need to be. There are politics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows it is just costing more to live in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are renting or whether you have bought. Now, if you locked in your rate 4 years ago, you're still doing okay there.
Yeah, but you might be stuck.
Yes.
But, yeah, you can't move. You know, you can't do anything else.
You can, but it's going to cost you big.
Those are huge expenses. And I know that people are politicizing them right now, and I understand why they're doing that. But, you know, I'm just responding to the poll saying, look, politics aside, that is a huge expense for people right now. And I do think they may be tying that to the economy more really than anything else. Groceries is one thing, but rent and mortgage is another big one.
And I want to transition this whole conversation, our YouTube poll for today, which is what we've been talking about, where you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell us how you feel about this. Have you felt the financial pain of higher prices, yes or no? While, you know, we're all saying it's a yes, we felt it. You got to be thinking about those people who have less resources, have less income, have a greater burden. And that's really the point of what we're doing today out here at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. It's been a real honor to be able to partner with Princess Storm. And her initial idea 4 years ago to create this diaper drive where we would come together in St. Louis and help people who need diapers. What a basic necessity to help these babies, to help these moms and these dads who are trying to care for their little ones when prices are going up everywhere on everything. And this is an opportunity where, you know, I've said this every time we've come out here to do something like this at Ruler Foods, whether it's the diaper drive or a food drive later in December. The understanding that one must have about your ability and obligation in a civilized society that we live in the United States of America, we complain a lot about tax burdens. We mm-hmm. complain a lot about big government. We complain a lot about people coming in and telling us how to live our lives. And I want small government. I want the lowest possible taxes that we can muster. I want safe and secure roads. I want the biggest BA military that we can come up with. And I want to make sure that we have a fair justice system and that the contracts that we have in between ourselves are honored and are fair. Outside of that, I needed someone to make a really good case that the government needs to get involved. But in that same vein, we do have to understand our moral obligation in, you know, I think for us, it's our Christian obligation, but our civilized society, moral, maybe Christian, maybe religious obligation to see needs and show up and be helpful for it. And what that means is that conservatives who are pounding their fist on the table about small government, about limited taxation, The fact that the government's not going to show up and take money from your pocket to go help someone else means that person still needs to be helped. And what a true, honest conservative believes is that the government doesn't need to get involved in order for me to help people, is that the government doesn't need to monitor and regulate how my money helps people. And if you're sitting there right now and you're in a position where you're thinking, yeah, small government, lower taxes, you got to know that there are still people who need your compassion and your generosity. And the proof is in the pudding when conservatives show up on a day like today and pile diapers up as tall as we are to say, we do care about these people. We do believe in charity. We do believe in generosity. And we got to put our feet and our pocketbooks where our mouth is, where our fingers tend to be on keyboards, being keyboard warriors about this, that, and the other thing. It's time to show up. It's time to make a move. And it's time to be heard, because partnering with Hot 104.1, when I see the diaper drive by Princess Storm, it was very imperative for me when D to the C came to me and was like, you should get together. I'm like, I don't want this to be the Princess Storm and Annie diaper drive. This is Princess Storm's diaper drive. And conservatives, I know people who can help. I know people who have resources and a heart to help on our station. And we're going to show up and we're going to support Princess Storm and follow her lead here to make sure that the St. Louis area diaper bank has so many diapers they don't know what to do with it. And that's where you come in. And we've had people walking in handing us cash. We've had people driving up to the curb here and opening the back of their work trucks. And I mean, Ryan, that was just full of the biggest boxes of diapers. The whole truck was full of the biggest. And it took Ryan, myself, and the donator to unload them in the break to make sure we could get them all out here. We need your help and we need your support. And we're at the Ruler Foods in St. Charles right now trying to make a really, really big impact. Will you please help us? If you can't make it to donate diapers or to make a donation so we can purchase the diapers at the end, if you go to the Annie Fry Twitter account, at Annie Fry Show, you will see the link to donate. You can donate directly to the cause. Princess Storm has a goal of $5,000. And right now we have seen $269.71 come in. So you guys are starting to show up, and we want, when Princess Storm takes over with her broadcast, we want to really get her going on this fund drive so that she doesn't have a lot to take care of when she starts her broadcast. So please go to the Annie Fry Show Twitter account. You can also go to the description of today's YouTube live broadcast to get that link as well. All right, we'll have some fun when we come back.
Yeah.
You mean stop talking about the crappy economy?
Yes.
And start celebrating the diapers that come in. We'll have some fun when we return. Don't go anywhere. The Annie Fry Show is going to be right back.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I ain't tough. No. It just comes natural.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. What a pleasure it is to be out here today in St. Charles at the Ruler Foods. I've seen so many of you today, but if you're listening right now and I haven't seen you yet, there's still time. We're going to be out here until 3 p.m., and Princess Storm is going to come out here right after we're done. I think she's actually going to be out here before we get done. So if you come out towards the end of the broadcast today, you can meet both of us. That would be so awesome. Ryan Wiggins can't stop shaking people's hands.
He just goes up to random people, too.
How would you describe the reaction that you get when people can obviously pick me out? I'm the only girl out here. So they know who I am. They hear my voice, of course. And then I go, this is Ryan Wiggins. What happens next?
Most of the time, people look super disappointed and they walk away.
That's not true. They all go like this. Oh.
There are a few people who laugh a little bit and they want autographs and stuff. I mean, it's just embarrassing sometimes. Isn't it funny how within 1 minute
I can go
from one end of the spectrum and saying nobody likes me to now everybody likes me and wants autographs and I'm charging for it?
Neither one are true.
Right, yeah.
neither
I can't say down the middle and just say, oh, it's fun meeting people. I got to make a joke out of it.
So I've got right here 10 old-fashioned things that Gen X people refuse to do anymore. We're not Gen X. We're all millennials.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, Ryan.
I'm right on the border.
Okay, no. Boomer.
I'm right on the border.
You're pretty close. There are certain, you could like work really hard and find, I mean, pretty much everything says 1980.
And so I was born in 81.
Yeah.
But I graduated in 99, and they say that the cutoff is 2000. So there's like an 8 month span in there where they don't really know what to do with us.
But this is Ryan Wiggins. Can you?
Yeah. Okay. Hi.
Confirmed. Yeah.
Hi.
We got people coming out looking at Ryan.
She did the thing, too. She was like, oh.
She's like, oh. That's what a Ryan Wiggins looks like.
In the wild. In the wild. The in studio the wild. Were different.
Yeah.
Does the face fit the voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
All sense. Right.
Compliment?
I'm not sure. Let's just not. I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah, don't worry about that. So Gen X people are refusing to do a few things that Gen X, as millennials, I relate to a lot of these things, but we're all what we would probably call elder millennials. Mm. We're up here at the top. KMJ, what are you, Gen Z? Are you millennial? 1990. So you're probably on the cusp of Gen Z millennial. The number one thing, 10 old-fashioned things Gen X people refuse to do anymore, talk on the phone. I'm allergic to talking on the phone. I do not want to talk on the phone ever. I want to text you. It's like I have to like gear up to listen to a voicemail.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
That's not new though. I've never wanted to talk on the phone. I always
You didn't grow up talking on the phone to your friends?
I hated talking on the phone. You'd memorize your friends' phone numbers so that you could call them to find out what you were doing that weekend
and
whatever.
You wouldn't chat with them?
Well, you'd get down to business pretty quick and then you'd move on.
You'd get down to business. You'd talk forever.
Listen.
With a corded phone that was in the kitchen and you had to go around the corner and stretch that thing into your parents' bedroom and sit on the floor so you could have some privacy when your parents were listening on the other line.
I'm not a girl. I think girls did that. I did not.
You know, you could have talked to a
be
girl.
Be like, hey, Kevin, what are you doing? What are you wearing this weekend?
Nothing.
Did you ever have girlfriends?
Not like that. You know, I took a couple,
not that you talked to.
Yeah, not once. It was always like, all right, fine, we can go to prom, you know.
All right, fine.
Yeah, you know.
It's what every girl dreams of hearing. All right, fine.
Well, once they ask you, you know, you got the power position. So you'd be like, I guess I'll think about going to prom with you.
How frequently have you been in the power position in your relationships with women?
I would say high school was a peak.
And did it happen?
After that, I was
did they know?
What you would call desperate.
Did they know?
I don't know. You're really figuring it out in high school, and I just assumed I had the power.
I was going to say, Ryan's confidence in high school is well documented. He's like, oh, yeah.
Chris says on YouTube, Gen X here, rather talk on the phone. Brad, you don't mind talking on the phone, do you?
I would rather not talk on the phone because whenever the only time that I feel like talking on the phone is valuable to me is like whenever I'm driving, because then I'm not trying to text or anything like that, and I can have the conversation. I've got the talk to text or the thing hooked up on my phone, all that stuff. I can talk to them. But man, a phone conversation whenever I'm trying to do something else, like it's nice to be able to text somebody, set your phone down, work on whatever it is you're working on. Look down, see what they say, then respond, and you can have a conversation. You can actually kind of multitask.
Yeah, a record for court.
But, like, what are you talking about?
What?
That's why I only talk to Ryan on text.
I don't do anything like that over the phone or talk to text. If there's going to leave a record, I'm going to go to court over
Amber
it.
Says, I am Gen X, and I hate talking on the phone.
Thank
so
you
Amber
very much.
Amber is with us.
Thank you very much. I still haven't figured out how to talk on the phone. This morning I called my cable company. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And they're like, you don't do this.
Do you need friends?
I guess so, yeah.
KMJ, do you talk on the phone? Are you a phone talker?
I don't like talking on the phone.
I'll text. Yeah, exactly.
Me and you can just kind of learn together.
Yeah. I don't think that's what he's asking for.
No. I think that's what he pretty much was saying.
I'm socially
well,
awkward.
Well, nice. Here's Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah.
You guys are cheap.
I made a career out of it.
Number two. I think that's true. That's true. He's doing very well. Number two, answer the door. I panic. I don't want to answer the door. I don't know. What is it about people? Like, if somebody knocks on your door and you don't know who they are.
No. It's never good.
Are you
it's
hiding?
Never good.
I'm hiding.
No, I answer the door.
I will answer the door.
Do you do it like this? What?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. You know what? The last time I answered the door and it was somebody I didn't know, though, I think I shared this while you were on vacation in July. I had been getting all these notes from a church that I didn't know, and they finally showed up at my door, and they're like, hey, we've been sending you the notes. I'm like, hey, thanks for the prayer. I'm already in a church, though. And they're like, oh, okay. That is the last I saw them.
They're not sending you any more notes?
No, they didn't send me any more notes.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah.
Ethan, you're a Gen Zer. Do you care to talk? Does talking on the phone bother you or answering the door bother you?
I have to go against my natural urge to not talk on the phone with people, but I feel like that's something that's necessary to have, so I try to do that. The answering the door doesn't bother me.
That might be a guy-girl thing.
Ethan's in the studio, and he sounds like a nerd.
No, what? What do you mean he sounds like a nerd?
Ryan, how many of those diapers have you had to use for yourself today?
No. It was just a canned response. Even. It didn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. He was just ready for a comeback.
And it still landed.
All right, Ryan, elder millennial here. Another thing that Gen X is refusing to do because they consider it old-fashioned is use authoritarian parenting. I do believe that as an elder millennial, we talk about being raised in the 80s and the 90s. It's not the same as kids these days. It's not the same at all. And I'm not here to have a problem with the way I was raised. I actually would, in some cases, like to go back to raising children that way. But it's not practical in 2024.
I think we still use pretty authoritarian. I guess it depends on how you define authoritarian.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. I might have jumped the gun here a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, we're pretty strict with our kids.
But strict is not authoritarian. Well, you can have standards that you enforce. I mean, like, our parents grew up being spanked. I think our generation grew up probably more than not being spanked. I think that spankings or corporal punishment, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that happened to us. I mean, I think that doesn't happen much at all anymore.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons we don't spank anymore, though, is because my youngest, he would be the one that would still be kind of within spanking age. The other ones are kind of aging out of it. But we tried with him when he was like 4 or 5, and he'd do something wrong, and he'd just be like, all right, let's go. Let's get my spank over with, and I can get on with it. And I'm like, this isn't even working. This doesn't work. I'm not going to spank you like you just like sort of took your punishment and took it, and you're just going to keep doing the same thing.
For my younger, for the kids like Molly is of this age, time out is the mat by the front door, because there's always a mat by the front door. So time out is everywhere that you need it to be. So there's a lot of time out, and we'll tell her, like, you can, if she's throwing a fit, she usually gets put in timeout when she's losing her mind and she needs a minute to just calm. Like, you're not going to tell a tantrum throwing 2 or 3 year old, calm down, and they're going to go, okay, that's a good idea. That doesn't happen. So I will say to her, like, you're going to go to timeout. When you're done throwing a fit and you want to talk about it, come back to us. So they go sit in timeout for 2 or 3 minutes and then they come back and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Or maybe you talk about it or whatever. But there's a lot of timeouts. Maybe losing some privileges for older kids, but I don't feel as though I parent in an authoritarian way, the way it was generally accepted for our parents' generation to parent.
I mean, we've gone through a generation now, and I do mean through because I think it's coming out the other side now, where being your kid's best friend is not – that was a thing. I don't think that's the thing anymore,
did
but we're
parents,
still, we still lean in that.
Did though. Your parents work really hard to make you feel like they were your best friends?
No. No, not
Brad?
At all.
No. No.
KMJ?
Oh, no, not at all. Me and my mom didn't get cool until I was out of her house and in my own.
And I mean, honestly, like, I will tell my kids, like, I am not your friend. I'm your mom, and that's way cooler, so that's what's up.
And, yeah. then and they believe you.
For now.
Yeah.
I'm waning on some of them, I think. The next one is, these are 10 old-fashioned things Gen X people refuse to do anymore. Let their kids go unsupervised. We were just talking about this recently, but the thought of being like, okay, kids, see ya when the lights come on in the street. Absolutely not. There's no world that exists today that I'm willing to send my kids out to go wherever. I mean, literally would get on my bike on a Saturday morning at like 8 or 9 a.m., drive into town on my ride into town on my bike, which was probably 5 miles away through the trails, a trail where you're just driving out on the MCT trails out in Edwardsville, ride into town, ride around all over the place, and come home at like 5 o'clock at night. That's at no cell phones, no ability to connect. I assume I told my parents I was leaving. I don't know. You just kind of went and did your thing. And I mean, oh my gosh, no, that gives me heart palpitations even thinking about letting my kids do that right now.
Yeah, my Saturdays were very similar. It was go, you know, you're going to go to the ice cream store by yourself or with a friend, probably try to win some tickets in an arcade. And my Saturdays are still that.
and buffets.
Well, and buffets. If I can work one in. But we don't. I, as much as I would love to just let my kids be unsupervised, and we will, like, in our backyard a little bit. But beyond that, almost never.
Yeah. Lauren just commented on our YouTube Live. Thank you for doing this today. I had to drop the money off and get back to work and didn't get to say much, except I've been there. Appreciate this. Lauren dropped off a very generous donation to us. And I have a pocket full of cash right now that Ryan Wiggins is going to be going into Ruler Foods in St. Charles. Before we wrap up this show, we will video it and show it on our live stream. So come join us there. Say hi. Vote in the YouTube Live Chat poll. In the description of today's YouTube Live Chat poll, you will see a link where you can donate directly to this if you can't make it out to donate diapers or make a donation for us to shop. You will be able to donate online. It's so far, Princess Storm's goal is $5,000 on the website. We're up to $369.71. We want to pad that as much as we can because she's going to take over broadcasting here when we get done. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up these 10 old-fashioned things that Gen X people refuse to do anymore. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show, broadcasting live from our diaper drive on West Clay Street in St. Charles at Ruler Foods. Don't go away. In St. Charles, Missouri, and once again, we are being overwhelmed with generosity and support. We've got a room full of people here right now. It is, and I just keep getting handed cash. I got handed a check for $500 to go towards this diaper drive that we're doing right now. And I am incredibly overwhelmed. I am so excited to be out here today. Ryan Wiggins and Brad, of course, out here broadcasting with us. And we're handing out some T-shirts to people who are coming in. And we are collecting diapers. The table is overflowing right now. The basket is overflowing. And we're...
So are our hearts, Annie.
Our hearts are overflowing. You are good at this.
It's just genuine. It just comes from right here.
You're
in the chest.
You're making KMJ laugh at you.
It's not funny.
Look at him. He's literally doubled over right now in amusement of you.
Gosh, people do this, man. Sometimes I try to be so genuine and people start laughing and I'm like, man, this is embarrassing for you.
Ryan, look at this. I mean, I haven't counted it yet, but look at this. And this check right here from our dear friend Rick, who's on the YouTube chat all the time, $500.
Wow. We're going to get a lot of diapers at the end.
We are going to get a lot of diapers at the end. If you would like to come join us out here, we are at the Ruler Foods in St. Charles, and we are having a great time. We are meeting so many of you listeners. Princess Storm is in the house. I just noticed that, and she's looking great.
Hey.
We're doing all right.
Are you live?
We're live.
We're not,
I'll tell you when we're
live,
on break.
But we're going to record a whole separate hour.
Yeah, we'll bring you. We'll actually get her. If you can get her on headset, she can talk about these Gen X things too. Because I want to continue on with this list as we move through the show here. We'll be broadcasting live at Ruler Foods in St. Charles until 3 p.m. Princess Storm will be taking over. 10 old-fashioned things that Gen X people refuse to do anymore. All right, Princess Storm, I have no idea where you're. What generation are you? Millennial? Are you?
I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial. She's a millennial. All right. She's getting set
up.
Okay, we're going with millennial. That's fine.
I'm a millennial.
Gen X people, we're on number 5. Be hyper independent. Gen Xers were the ultimate DIYers. They came of age in an era of grunge music. They witnessed the birth of MTV, and declared themselves as wholly anti-establishment. And having latchkey childhoods made Gen Xers deeply self-reliant to the point where they didn't reach out to help or even when they needed it. They're done doing that. They're reaching out for help a little bit more. Maybe therapy, maybe asking for help when the time comes. Do you feel like you, I guess as a millennial, we call ourselves elder millennials because we're right there at the top of the millennial age. Do you feel like you are more compelled to ask for help than maybe the generations before you? Or do you feel that, like, strong desire to be independent and that I'd do it myself?
So I'm not afraid to ask for help, but I really call it just giving direction because I don't need the help. I just need you to, you know, do this while I do this.
It's just perspective. It's just a matter of how you look at it. Ryan, what about you? I mean, if you think especially about the boomer generation, the greatest generation, there wasn't a lot of like, oh, I really want to reach out and ask for help and assistance, especially when it comes to emotional things.
I don't know that I ask for more help now than I ever did, but there is definitely a push for people to do that. Like, there is a social push to be more vulnerable about everything. The problem is that I don't know if it's just me being very skeptical of it, but when I see that, it's like it's commoditized. It's like it's been made into ready-made Hollywood social media stuff to be vulnerable. And so I feel like even
your
though...
vulnerability is your strength.
Yeah, even though people push to be more vulnerable, I feel like you see less and less genuine vulnerability now than you ever have because it's so commoditized.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, Princess Storm. It's like, I'll talk about what I need help with getting done.
And I'll do it.
And then we get the job done. Yeah, yeah. Princess Storm and I are kindred spirits in many
ways.
That's
like a mom.
Yes. I don't have time.
Yeah.
For anything else. Number six, believing they can have it all. You know, I hear this a lot about, and I don't know if this is one of the later ones in this list, but the generation of work, 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 where work is your life and you work for the sake of working. I do find myself trying to balance the benefits of work, i.e. the money that you make, with the time you spent doing the work to make the money. But I'm still going to hustle every day that I can to provide for myself and my family as much as I can.
I have a very unique work-life balance. I am a full-time on-air personality managing two brands. I'm a mom. I'm a dog mom. And I'm always on the go. But I find myself trying to be present in the moment wherever I am.
Yeah.
If that's swim class, if that's soccer class, if that's Spanish class, if that's on-air, I'm going to be present at that moment. And then when I'm not there, it has to wait.
Yes.
Until I come back.
That's so important because as a mom, you know, like when your kid will come up, and this happened a lot more when I was a younger mom, but like, do you have to work tonight, mommy? Or like,
yeah.
You got the laptop open and you're doing everything. You're just trying to be everything for everybody all the time. And you realize at the end of that you're not being enough for anybody ever. You just got to start prioritizing and being okay with saying, no, other people can wait.
I think the worst feeling in the world, and it's like my last thing, is like when they're doing something and you're on your phone or you're on a laptop and they're like, mom, look, and you're not paying attention.
And you're like, yeah, it's great. That's awesome.
And
they're like,
I
broke my foot. Yeah. You're like, guessed wrong on that one. But yeah, and then you realize that you're dismissing them and you've to their face prioritized something else over them. Yeah. I don't think kids need to be prioritized 100% of the time. They need to learn that too. But when you're at home, when you're at soccer practice, it's important to be present. What about you? Like this push to feel like you have to have it all, being able to measure realistically what it all actually is.
Yeah, I mean, really by any standard, I feel like I do have it all. So there's a sympathy that comes with having it all when you look at people who don't. And I think I have that. I got a ton of sympathy and empathy.
Now you got to.
Which is another piece of evidence of me having it at all.
It's really great that Princess Storm showed up. The next, avoid healing their trauma, holding in issues and stuff. Avoid healing it. Gen X is overdoing that, according to this article. They're invested in trying to get past traumas. That's you agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be hurt anymore. Like, we want to be happy.
Yes.
We don't want to go through pain. We don't want to pass this on to the next. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Do you have anything productive to add to this?
I'm just kind of listening because I really don't.
I didn't think that there's any way you were going to take that one seriously.
Yeah, that's another great aspect of me. Thank you.
What is this? Number eight, ignore their feelings.
What's that?
Perfect timing.
You seem as though you're projecting a little.
Ignore their feelings.
My life is so good. Wiggins America Today is about rich people and hot people problems.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to talk about it. Ignore the kids' feelings?
No, ignore your own feelings.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you keep them at a distance?
Yeah.
I think it's a typical male
thing. The trouble is, if, and I don't know if this is just me or if it's a guy thing or if it's a Gen X thing, but if I open up, then I'm like, all right, now everybody's got to know. I can't just be like,
open the
floodgates. I got a little problem, Katie. I got to talk about it with you. It's like, no, now we're going to sit down and talk about my problems.
Get the neighborhood together. Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
I'm okay with talking about my feelings.
You
I
are?
Need to get down to why I felt like that, and you need to understand what you did to trigger me so you won't have to do that again.
I'm not interested in talking about my feelings.
I'm
not
that
interested
person,
in
right,
having
Cam
feelings.
I'm that person.
Yeah, we've got confirmation here from the
Don't you always do you feel like you're burdening people when you talk about problems, though? Because that's the way I don't really bring up that stuff unless it's somebody very close to me and it's the right environment. Because otherwise I'm like –
I feel like you're burdening people. If I'm talking to you about it, that means there's something you can directly do, something you can directly do about it. That it's not a matter of, like, I need you to hear this for me.
Yeah.
And after I unload this on you, we're good.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on it, too. I wouldn't want to talk about my feelings unless I think that there's something that you can do to help me fix whatever it is that's making me feel that way.
Number nine, have an apathetic attitude. Gen Xers have moved far beyond being the slacker generation by refusing to be apathetic. They're no longer defined by not caring. I think Gen X is like the forgotten generation. I've seen them be referred to that. Like, they're not the high maintenance generation that millennials were made out to be. Although I'm here to say that every generation that is like 20 at the time, you're going to get crapped on by the older people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a hazing. It's just a natural process.
Yeah.
People will talk about like kids these days and they're like, darn millennials. I'm like, we have multiple children, mortgages, and maybe divorces by now. Like, you can move past crapping on the younger people and calling them millennials. But I think that Gen X has kind of been skipped over in the generational conversations, but I always kind of felt like Gen X was proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. they were kind of apathetic about even that, but maybe that's changing now. Last one is make work their whole lives, and we kind of talked about that already, but I do think that I have a healthier work-life balance than I think that generations before have kind of been put on the spot to have, that, like, work is what defined you. Yeah. I don't think we have that as much.
No, not at all.
Which
is
good.
I've heard recently that Gen X is one of the most desirable for employers, generations to hire, because they are a bridge generation between people who do real life work and people who do basically all digital work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if you hire people older than Gen X, which really is getting almost out of the workforce at this point, there was like no digital component to anything they did. And then if you hire people younger, they do all digital. And there's kind of a mix there with Gen X.
To be able to communicate between the generations. Well, that is 10 things that are old-fashioned that Gen X people refuse to do anymore. So hope you enjoyed that. Princess Storm is here with us. As I said, we are here supporting the Princess Storm diaper drive. And Princess Storm has made it here. You're going to broadcast after we're done on Hot 104.1?
Yes, I am broadcasting. And I told you guys I had a surprise.
You did? Oh!
Yay!
You're the fry guy.
Fry guys.
Oh, all right. Do we open this now?
If you want.
Okay.
Are you going to cry? You're not going to cry.
I'm already crying.
I feel the pressure to cry.
Annie doesn't share her feelings.
You guys are the fry guys.
We appreciate that.
Hey, thank you.
We got about 2 minutes left here. Princess Storm, real quick, why did you decide to put together this diaper drive? What do you make of this?
I put together this diaper drive because when I became... Exactly! Exactly!
Thank you.
I became a mom, you know, I just saw the importance in how much diapers were and how much I had to do, and I just couldn't believe diapers were that expensive. And when I was talking to my friends, diapers were something that I could not put off. You know, you might can order a kid's meal and not the full meal when you're ordering out to eat. You might cut and pay half of the bill, but when it comes to diapers, you can't skip a month. You can't skip, you know, size up or size down. You have to do the right thing. So I partnered with the St. Louis Diaper Bank, and I'm so excited that we came over to Odyssey and I met you and we started this amazing diaper drive. And that's why I do it for the community.
Well, I'm going to show you this right now, Princess Storm. I haven't counted it yet.
Wait, can I say something before you start? I'm just taking over. I'm so sorry.
No, that's you can do the 2 o'clock hour too.
I want to tell you, thank you. I appreciate you so much for helping me. This is like a small appreciation because I know that you like it. And also, shout out to the Fry Guys. That's your new name. You know, just with all the support that you do, like, I really, really appreciate it. You know, being a mom, being a woman, working in radio, balancing it all, I know it. So I just want to thank you for just, you know, being great and coming out and helping me.
I want to give you a hug. I don't like hugging people, but I want to give you a hug.
I don't like hugging people either.
Here, high five, nuts, or something like that.
It's a radio thing.
It is. And, I, you know, being the number one thing that when we found out from D to the C, when he put the two of us together on this idea, was that I want to remind our listeners that our responsibility is to help our neighbors in need.
Yeah.
And I want to support you and Hot 104.1 and what you're doing. You are a sister station at Odyssey, but you are my sister. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to show up and partner, which I think if people were like 97.1 and Hot 104.1 are doing this collab, people would be like, come again?
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Everyone's always like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, you do not understand. When it comes to being a parent, when it comes used to being, you know, someone that's wanting to give back and do something for the community, you're going to just do your part. So I really thank you. I know people are just like coming up.
People are coming up.
I have one of these, so I have like 5 checks in my purse and everything.
Yeah, I was going to tell you this. We have from one of our regular YouTube live chat listeners.
What's their name?
His name is Rick. He goes by Quick Rick.
Quick Rick.
And I'm just going to show you that one number right there.
Okay, Quick Rick. Thank you.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. And we are very, very grateful for it. Ethan, sorry we went a little bit long there. We're going to take a quick break here. We're still collecting diapers. I've got a handful of cash here. I'm going to count it, on the break. I have on our tweet, at Annie Fry Show on their X account, you can go see the link to donate directly if you can't make it out to us. Princess Storm, we've been talking about this. You've got this $5,000 goal here. We're up to $519.71 there. Encouraging our listeners to go show up and donate there if they can't make it out to Ruler Foods in St. Charles. So sorry that I went long. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't delay.